Let's pray together. Father in heaven, hallowed is your name. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done today through me, in us, in our life together here at Church of the Messiah. Thank you that we can call you Father. Lord, open our hearts up to understand even in deeper ways what it means that we can call you Father. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. I believe most of us are familiar with the description of blue-collar workers and white-collar workers. When I was in high school, I worked for a trucking company, and everybody on the truck wore blue shirts, and all the men in the office tended to wear white shirts. So I understood where that description came from. And so in this moving company, this trucking company, there was an office, and there was a big counter, and the blue-collar workers stayed on this side of the counter. And you had to be kind of invited. It was an unwritten rule, but you had to be invited to go on the other side of the counter. Now, on the other side of the counter, there were lots of desks for the people that wore the white collars. But in that area, too, there was a private office. And in that office, there was a big leather chair and an executive desk. And that was the office of the president and owner of the company. So one time, I'm working on the truck, got my blue shirt on, and I was working for a trucker that came from out of town. And so we go in, and the counter's where you got orders, what to do for that day, and where you turned in your paperwork. So we were doing that. The other trucker was doing that. And I walked right around the counter, and then I walked not only around the counter without an invitation, I went right into the office of the owner and president of the company. And the trucker that was with me, I could see he was surprised. Who does this kid think he is walking right in to see the owner and president of the company? Well, that office was my father's office. And so he always wanted me to have access to his office. God always wants us to have access to him. And that's why he says, call me Father. So I had access because it was my father's office. Now, if I push this working for my dad a little further, the illustration begins to break down pretty quickly, because my dad always made me work the hardest jobs or sent me on the most difficult jobs. We would have third floor carries, which means that there's no elevator, and you'd have to walk up three flights of steps, pick up the piece of furniture, carry it down three flights, go, and then get the next one. So if there was a third floor carry, I'd hear my dad say, send Marty. Now, it did help me develop a good work ethic. And I'm sure there are times when my dad did protect me or cared for me in ways I didn't see. But whether we have a white collar, a blue collar, or no collar, if we're in Christ, we have this access to God as our Father. Do we really appreciate, we've had this sermon series on knowing the Father heart of God. Do we really appreciate the fact that we can call God our Father? Last Sunday, Pastor Nal talked about how good our Father is. Even in the hard times, the goodness of God. And what proves that he's a good father that gives good gifts more than anything else is the greatest gift that's been given, and that's Jesus, his son. And so we're thankful for that. But I love the story, the gospel last week, where it says, if an earthly son will ask his father for a fish, will that father give him a snake? And the answer is no. And if an earthly father knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more will our perfect Father in heaven give good gifts to us if we ask for them? So, Even after weeks of preaching on knowing the Father heart of God, do we really appreciate the wondrous privilege we have of calling God our Father? The creator of heaven and earth and the angels and the archangels day and night never cease to proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Do we really understand what it means that we can call the one whose glory fills the earth our Father? There's a great Anglican teacher, J.I. Packer, and he wrote a great book called Knowing God, and this is what he says about this whole issue of Father. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. Father is the Christian name for God. Now, Protestants tend to call this prayer the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer. I really think the Roman Catholics have it right when they call it the Our Father. I think for me, at least, that's the best description. And so, since we've focused on our Father so much, I've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. It's on page 721 of the Church Bible. Now, interesting enough, this prayer falls exactly in the center of the Sermon on the Mount. And I appreciate what so it's not changing for me. There we go. I appreciate what Oswald Chambers, who great devotional writer, said about the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a statement of life we will live when the Holy Spirit is getting his way with us. And it's certainly the greatest sermon that's ever been preached on God and how we should live a life for God. And so right at the center of this sermon is Jesus teaching us how to pray to the Father. And I think that's because God wants to say to us, that has to be the center of our way of life, that God as our Father and our prayer life with him should be at the center of how we live our lives. There's an old book called the Didache. It's older than some of the books in the New Testament. And it encourages people to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day. So, from the early church, this was an important prayer for the people of God. But Jesus begins talking about prayer about two ways that seem particularly offensive to Jesus about praying. So the verse 5, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." So, they were seeking more of human approval than they were of God's approval. I was with a group of pastors last month, and I had to confess, you know, I have to pray in public a lot. And there's some of you that probably pray in public. And there's some times where I'm more concerned about my eloquence than who I'm talking to. Is God concerned about my eloquence? He's concerned about my heart, and is it sincere? And so I really had to repent of that, and I'm trying to work on that, so when I have a chance to pray, that I'm really focused on the one I'm praying to and not thinking about what will sound good or what words to use, but really to pray to my Father in heaven. What a privilege to be able to pray to our Father in heaven, creator of heaven and earth, where the angels and archangels are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." And we can pray to this this Father in heaven. So the first offensive way is to pray for the approval of people. And what does Jesus tell us? Well, that's your reward. You'll get the approval of people, but your prayers aren't going anywhere. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Well, I don't think you can be legalistic about that. We don't have any examples of Jesus going into any rooms to pray. But I think the issue here is to find a place where you can really pray. And a lot of people have found it helpful to have a regular place of prayer, that you just kind of set that apart as a regular time and place of prayer. So go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So you want the Father's reward, not human reward. And then here's the other way that offends Jesus, the way people pray. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Do you know why I think Jesus doesn't like this view or this way of praying? Is because it says something about who God is. Is God a God that's reluctant to answer our prayers? A God that we have to earn or deserve an answer to our prayers? It says that like the pagans prayed. You know what a good example is in the Bible of pagans praying? 1 Kings 18. It's a contest between the Baal prophets and Elijah. And the Baal prophets started to pray, and it says they prayed for hours and hours, and they were crying out louder. And Elijah said, your God's not answering. Maybe you need to wake him up, or maybe he's going to the bathrooms. And really kind of taunted them. And so they just started to pray louder, and then they started to cut themselves with swords. And that kind of prayer is looking at God like the old water pumps. And to get what you want, you have to pump harder and more. And the more you pump, the more you get from God. And God hates that attitude because God says, I already know what you need before you ask. You come to me as a good father, a perfect father. You come to me for your needs. And so they prayed for hours. And I timed Elisha's prayer. It was less than 10 seconds. And then it says, then the fire of the Lord fell. And it was clear which one was really God. So the second kind of prayer Jesus warned about is more about our understanding and view of God that it assumes. We're not talking about a good father who loves to give good gifts to his beloved children. We are speaking about a God who requires us to earn or deserve his attention and prayers. I like the way Tim Keller puts it. You can either approach God on a business basis or on a family basis. A business basis, or you do it and you earn something, or a family basis, he's my father, I'm his child. So prayer is not proving yourself worthy or trying to convince a reluctant boss to give you a raise or begging a stranger for help. Prayer is coming close to a good father who loves us deeply, who knows what we need before we ask. God loves us and can be trusted to meet our needs. And certainly Psalm 91 tells us that. Now, when we say about the Lord's Prayer, we think the first word is our Father. But in both the Matthew and Luke edition of the prayer, you know what the first word is? It's Father. And I shared this before. I think the most important word in our prayer life is the word Father and what it means to us. Do we understand that? But I really like when we say our Father. You know, it's easy for us to pray I, or me, or my. But God says our Father. So are we just praying for ourselves? No, we're praying for everyone. We're praying for people around us. Our Father, our daily bread. forgive us our sins, our trespasses, our debts. And so it's a prayer for us. And do you know where this really helps me? I shared this a couple weeks ago, but Jesus was talking to people. 90% of the people he was talking to had to look for their daily bread. In other words, they were daily dependent on food. They didn't know if they were going to have enough food for that day. We live in a culture where 90% of the people know are their food provided for. They know that they have food to eat. So how do we pray that? You know, a lot of times they think, well, I don't need too much daily bread today, Lord. Help me not to have too much daily bread. But when we pray our, we're thinking about these kids that are getting the shoeboxes. We're thinking about people, our relationship with Sanctuary of Hope, the Church for the Poor. We're thinking about people in other places that don't have enough to eat. We're praying for them. Give us our daily bread. So when we pray in that, it's like a prayer for us and all the believers in the world. And I think if you look at it that way, you'll find that it's a richer, more powerful way to pray. So, our Father, and then the next two words are in heaven. So the word Father encourages us to come close to him as a father. However, he's our Father in heaven. The added point is that God in Christ may be as intimate as a father to us, but he's still a Father in heaven. What do we say in the creeds? God the Father Almighty. God the Father Almighty. He is sovereign. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, perfectly faithful. God is in control of this universe, and thank God he's in control, and he's the God of light. Almighty God of the universe, knowing that our loving Father, we approach him knowing that our loving Father delights that we as his children are coming to him in prayer. So telling us that our Father's in heaven and hallowed is his name reminds us that he is enthroned in glory. He is both very close and he's lifted up high. So when we pray to God, we pray to a God that's very, very powerful and holy, but he's saying to come close to us. Here's two passages. Let's read it together. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. So where's the Father right now? He's on a throne. And then what does it tell us in Hebrews? Let's read this together. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So there again, the word Father is encouraging us to come and approach him with confidence, with boldness, so that we may receive mercy. But isn't that a beautiful image? It's a throne of grace. A throne of grace, undeserved, unmerited, love and commitment to us. It's a throne of grace, and we come to God on this throne of grace. So brothers and sisters, if there's this one message that I think is very important for us to hear today, is don't take for granted the great privilege we have to call God our Father. We hear that, but we can just take that for granted. Don't take for granted the great privilege we have of calling the holy, holy, holy God enthroned. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Our Father in heaven. Going to end the sermon with kind of, I'm calling it like a declaration and a prayer. And I would like you to stand up with me and just repeat after me. If you're able to stand, just repeat after me. Our Father in heaven is an everlasting Father.
Our Father in heaven
Even if my earthly father and my mother forsake me, even if my earthly father and mother forsake me, he will never forsake me. Thank you, Father in heaven, that Jesus is preparing a place for us in your house. That Jesus is preparing a place for us in your house. Thank you, Father in heaven, that you are a God of compassion. You really do care for us. Thank you, Father in heaven, that you've adopted us. And we have become children of God in Christ. We have become children of God in Christ. Thank you, Father in heaven, that you are perfect in all your ways. Thank you, Father in heaven, that your love for us is high as the heavens are above the earth. That your love for us is as high as the heavens are above the earth. Thank you, Father in heaven, that you are present with us. You're always there for us. Thank you, Father in heaven, that you're a good Father, who, if we ask, will only give us good gifts. Who, if we ask, will only give us good gifts. Father in heaven, help us never take for granted that we call you our Father in heaven. So, Lord, we stand here before you, our Father in heaven, and we ask that there be a renewed sense in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, that we have a Father in heaven who is perfect, who is loving, who is present, who is everlasting, who is good, whose love is as high as the heavens are above the earth. Oh Lord, help us not to take the great privilege we have of calling you our Father in heaven for granted. We ask this in the name of the Son, your Son, Jesus, through whom we've been adopted. Amen. Amen. Amen.